Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastor Steve Mays. We're glad you're taking this opportunity to deepen your study of the Scriptures. Now we invite you to follow along in your Bible as we dive into the light of the Word.
This morning, I'd like to draw your attention to the Gospel of John, and like to look at the great I Am, the final seventh, as we looked at last week, I Am the Vine. And we mentioned that we wanted to talk a little bit about the fruit of the Spirit, about bearing fruit in our life. So we pick up the story in chapter 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman, or the farmer. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it might bring forth more fruit. So in verse 2, would you underline beareth fruit? And would you also underline in verse 2, more fruit, the last two words? Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abides in the vine. Now I've tried to disprove that verse my whole life, but it's true. Outside of Christ I can do nothing, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except you abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abides in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth, and underline, much fruit. So in verse 2, fruit. Verse 2, more fruit. Now in verse 5, much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. And then in verse 8, herein is my Father glorified. Now underline that, herein is my Father glorified. What will glorify God today? That ye bear, underline, much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. And then in verse 16, ye have not chosen me, but, the conjunction, I have chosen you. So God has chosen you, that's why you're here. And ordained you, the word means to appoint. He's appointed you. So this is the purpose, this is God's goal in your life. That ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of my Father in my name, he may give it unto you. I was reading a statistic a little while ago. It was done by Moody, and it was an interesting statistic. It said, concerning Christians, 10% cannot be found. I don't know how they came up with that conclusion. 20% never attend any church. 25% admit they never pray. 35% admit they never read their Bible. 40% never give to the church. 60% never give to missions. 65% do not study their material. Like when I encourage you to read 18 and 19, 65% of you will not do that. 70% will not assume any responsibility. 85% never invite anyone to church. 95% never win a person to Jesus Christ. And this is the one I like. 100% believe they're going to heaven. It's kind of bizarre. But in verse 16, he goes on to declare, and ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. And there is the call of God upon your life, like it or not. You have not chosen him, but he has chosen you. Oh, there was a day that you raised your hand and you came forward. But I want to remind you that it was God that was bringing you, and it was God that was convicting you, and it was God who opened your heart to be willing to receive the message of his grace. And though you accepted him, when you said, yes, Lord, come into my heart, then you need to know that you did not choose him, but he chose you. So before the foundations of the world, before you were even born in your mother's womb, God had a purpose and God had a plan for your life. Now this is extremely important for you and I as human beings. Because we are driven by purpose. We are driven by ambitions and we are setting goals or aiming for certain things that we want to accomplish within our life. And what is so discouraging about living is when you finally reach those goals and those aims, you finally get the things you really want in life. There's no fulfillment. Oftentimes you find that they're empty and you need to oftentimes spend it with yourself. And so there must be something richer and deeper about living that God wants us to know. And I believe there is. I believe that God placed eternity within your heart. And I believe that you will never be content, nor will you ever be satisfied until you are right with God. I don't believe that God has a problem with what you have or what you possess, or even the dreams or the ambitions that you have in your life. I don't think those are important things to the Lord. I think what He is looking for and longing for and desiring is that you and I would have one purpose, one heart, and one goal, and that is to bring honor to the one who made us. I think sometimes as a parent, you see your kids go away. And you kind of wish that they would call back every once in a while and just say, "Hey, Dad, don't need no money, but how you doing?" It's just nice to hear from your kids once in a while. And I go about a week and then all of a sudden Nathan will call or Heather will call, and it's just a wonderful thing. And God has been speaking to my heart that I need to even call more often. "How you guys doing?" Because I brought them into the world. I was part of their life, and I want to remain part of their life if that's what they desire. But sometimes kids don't want to be part of your life. And friends don't want to be part of your life. And oftentimes I'm afraid that that's how we treat God. That God thanks for the beginning, but back off and let me live my life the way I really want to live my life. And so the pain and the agony is unbearable sometimes within our life. Jesus, you remember in chapter 13, all the way through chapter 18, is dealing with a 24-hour period of time. So John devotes one quarter of his book to 24 hours of time. And it just so happens it is the last words that he is speaking to the men he had been with for 3 years. Now, as a guy, I think I really want to take heed. Because if someone's going to leave me, they're going to give me final instructions to do a job. And oftentimes, when you're trying to delegate a job, the other person's going, "Yep, yep, 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 yep." And I'm scratching my head because I don't understand why they're not taking notes of what I'm telling them. And then I think, well, if they were that good, they should be running the business, not me. And if I have to take notes, why are you not taking notes, you dingling? I don't say that, but I definitely think it. And then, sure enough, "Well, Pastor Steve, now, what did you want after the second thing?" And I think, now you're a Christian, go over it once again. And I think that when Christ came and he said, "Listen, guys, I want to share with you some things that you really need to pay attention. I'm going to be gone within about 10 hours. This is what I want you to know." And he said five simple things that kind of bring the whole chapter 15 to a real closure. Number one, he said, "You guys, you need to bear fruit. You need to have fruit within your life. You need to have a lot of fruit. Much fruit. And whatever you do, it needs to remain." And so Christ places the emphasis upon bearing fruit. The second thing you remember he said in chapter 15 is, "You need to keep my commandments." Whatever you do in life, do one thing really well. Never violate the scriptures. Understand the concepts, the precepts of my word. They are light unto your feet, and they will guide you through the difficult times of your life. So remember the scriptures. The third thing he said was, remember that I will send you the power of the Holy Ghost. And whatever you do, you wait till you are endowed with power from on high. Because you're going to need this power in your life to have fruit. And you're going to need this power in your life to be obedient to the Word of God and not to compromise your life. And then he declared the fourth thing. He said, whatever you do, you got to make sure you pray. And the Father will answer you because we are one and we have prayed for you. And I want you to pray without ceasing. And when you don't understand, I want you to pray. You need to talk to God. And then lastly, he declared, whatever you do, you need to learn to love one another. And those are the five basic things that Christ laid out to his disciples. Guys, you need to bear fruit. Because the world is going to know that you are disciples because you are loving one another. You need to keep my commandments because they're going to lead you in the path of righteousness. You need to be baptized in the Holy Ghost because it will be the power to live during these last corruptible days upon this earth. And you need to come to a point that you have a good dialogue with God, that you're talking and sharing, communicating, pouring your heart out to God. And whatever you do, you need to learn to love one another. So Jesus now is saying to his guys, bear fruit. And so we pick up the story very simply in chapter 15, verse 16. One other thing before I dive in here, we mentioned that chapter 15 could be divided into a very simple way to understand it. In verse 5, he declares that as a branch, I am to receive. So branches are to receive. Let's say it together. Branches are to receive. In other words, I'm not to be giving, I'm to be taking. I'm to be receiving from the life of God, from the heart of God, from the mercy of God, from the character of God. I need to have Christ in me, which is the hope of glory. I need to be pointed into the vine. So branches, we need to learn to receive. In verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. So as branches I am to receive. But then in verse 8, as disciples I am to follow. So let's say disciples I am to follow. Let's say it together. Disciples I am to follow. Notice verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. So before you can lead, you need to follow. No man has authority unless he's under authority. So before I can ever be a leader, I need to learn what it is to submit. And Jesus is saying very simply, if you're going to be my disciple, you need to follow. And if you're going to be my branches, you need to learn to take. Two areas that we don't do very well. I don't want to receive. Well, then you're not going to have. I don't want to follow. Therefore, you're not going to learn. If a true disciple follows, then a true branch receives. And the third area of the Gospel of John 15, as friends, we are to commune. So friends are to commune. Let's say that together. Friends are to commune. Notice in verse 15, henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. So that is the call of God upon my life. I am to receive as a branch. I am to follow as a disciple. I am to communicate to my friend, Jesus Christ. So we have in verse 16, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and I have appointed you, or I have ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit. Now notice in verse 2, that you would have fruit. that you would bear fruit. Then notice again in verse 2, I encourage you to underline more fruit. Then in verse 5, would you underline much fruit. Then again in verse 8, much fruit. Then in verse 16, that your fruit would remain. You see, I do believe that this is the call of God upon your life. It's not that you would be part of a church. It's not that you would be part of a community. But the will of God in your life is that you would bear fruit. So the glory of a branch is bearing fruit. But the fruit is the life of a branch being connected. So if there's not the fruit of the Spirit, the love and joy and peace in my heart, then it basically means I'm not connected to the vine. If you see that fruit within my life, if there is that love and that gentleness in my heart, if long-suffering and patience and kindness is there, then you can make the assumption that Pastor Steve is plugged in. And when I am plugged in, then I'm receiving of His mercy, partaking of His divine nature, baptized in His Holy Ghost. The unction of the Holy Spirit is pulsating through my veins. His Word is penetrating my mind. And my heart and my mind and my soul and my actions are totally consecrated to the one I love. And so when He comes and He says, Stephen, I know you're doing well. Well, Lord, don't you want me to tell you how I'm doing? No, I see the fruit in your life. The opposite of that is if I don't bear fruit, Jesus said in verse 2, I'm going to remove you. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He takes away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purges it, that ye may bring forth more fruit. Verse 6, if any man abides not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. You remember the story there in the Gospel of Matthew, where Jesus one day was on His way to the temple. He looked at the fig tree and He went over to enjoy some of the fruit. He went through the leaves and there were no fruit, and so He cursed the tree. And the next day when He was walking by, His disciples noticed that the tree was barren and destroyed. You see, He came looking for fruit. The leaves are symbolic of the outward manifestations of my flesh. Religion, church, membership. God is looking beyond that to the heart, to the motive, to the intent of my life. And if there is leaves, there needs to be fruit. Because He was looking to satisfy His hunger. Now that's hard to believe. But that's exactly what you need to understand. Jesus Christ wants to partake of your life. He wants to come into your heart, produce in you a thing of righteousness, and then when you bear fruit, He wants to come and see the sweetness and to enjoy the fruit of that. It's interesting when they would make the anointing oil that all of the ingredients had to be crushed. Apart from being crushed, the fragrance would never come out. And as your lives have been crushed, the fragrance of Christ comes out. When she broke the alabaster box there, Mary, it said that the fragrance filled the air. And Jesus was able to smell something really sweet. But sometimes I don't want to be broken. Sometimes I don't want to go the way of purity or holiness. I want to do what I want to do, and so the fragrance is not there. And he warns us, I am looking for fruit in your life. You remember the story of the three servants that were given quite a bit. There in Matthew 25, it is the parable of the unjust servant. And listen very carefully, because this is what kind of governs my life here at the ministry. He said he came to one, the good master, and gave him 5 talents. He said, I'm going away, and when I come back, I'll receive what you have done. He comes to the next, and he gives him 3 talents. He says, I'm going away, and when I come back, give me what you have. He said to the third, here is 1 talent. When I come back, see what you have, and I'll talk to you. The good man of the house went away, speaking of the Lord. And one day he returned, and he said to the one that had the 5, what have you done with the 5? He said, good master, I know that you are a good businessman. And so I've invested the 5, and I've made another 5, and here is what I have. And Jesus said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Because you've been faithful in the small things, I'll make you rulers over many things. And so he was given that reward. He came to the second. He said, what have you done? He said, oh, I've taken and I've doubled the money, and here's the money back. He said, no, you keep it. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. He came to the third. This gets a little bit sticky. He said, what have you done with my money? And the guy said, I knew that you were hard. And I know that you want a good return. And I was fearful. So I buried my talent and I've dug it up. And here it is. He said, oh, you foolish servant. Did not I give it to you to invest? Why did you not at least put it in the bank to get interest? And Jesus took it away from him and gave it to the others. That story, more than any other verse in the Bible, haunts me. Because it means that God gave me my wife. Therefore, I want to give her back to God better than I got her. You figure that one out. So I am to wash her by the watering of the word. I am to tell her how often I love her. I am to hang out with her and let her know how special she is. And I'm to dwell with them according to knowledge. Some of you guys, they're worse off now with you. It should not be that way. God gave you a gift. And you need to learn how to invest that gift and turn it around. God has given some of you children. And you need to raise those children for the glory of God. And you ought never to give up on them. You remember Job, it said that he prayed for his children daily. And he sacrificed for them every single day. Just in case they had sinned, that God's mercy might be upon their life. In other words, Job did not and would not entrust his children to pray for themselves or sacrifice for themselves. He wanted to take full responsibility, no matter what they did, that they would be covered under the blood of Jesus Christ. And that pleased God. Because there came a day, you remember, in Satan, that the sons of God came together and Satan was there. And God begins to brag on Job. Hey, have you seen my servant Job? And Satan goes, yeah, but you've blessed him. You've made him the most wealthiest man in the world. And God begins to brag. Oh, no, he is a righteous man. And he loves his family and he sacrificed. And Satan said, take it away and he'll curse you. And God said, go for it. I know the character of this man. Do what you got to do. And so in one day, he lost his children. All 7 were killed. He went upside down financially. His wife is saying, curse God and die. And the Bible tells us that he sat in the dirt. He said, naked I came in, naked I go out. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And Satan came back into heaven and said, hey, have you seen Job? And God said, hey, The man loves me. He did not curse me. And Satan says, touch his body. He'll curse you. God said, go for it, but just don't kill him. And Satan came and plagued his body. And all of a sudden, Job begins to, in all these things, he did not falsely accuse God. And so the dialogue is going between Satan and God. And here's a poor man sitting in the dust, being plagued, having no idea that God is boasting upon his servant. And I believe that God knew his heart. And I believe God knows your heart. And God would rather have you use the talent and make a mistake than to be fearful and insecure and throw it away. God gave you talent. God has given you fruit. God has given you the heart. God gave you a mind, and you are to use that mind and use that heart and use your eyes and use your hands for the glory of God, because he's coming back and he's going to want to know what you've done for his kingdom. And all that God is saying is, if you will stay plugged in, then you will bear fruit. And all that I want is, I'm not satisfied with fruit. I want more fruit. And I'm not satisfied with more fruit. I want much fruit. And I'm not satisfied with much fruit. I don't want your fruit leaving. So when I read this, it tells me that God is after my life. And so here, if we're going to have a church, let's do it. If we're going to have a children's ministry, let's do it. And I want, when God comes back, to say, God, you gave us 14 people. Here's your congregation. Because we have taken the talent, we have taken the giftings, and we have shared it with the community. That's what God is looking for. So as I stay plugged in, as you stay plugged in, we can reach the world for Jesus Christ. But God comes and he says to you, he says to me, today I want you to give me an account of your life. I gave you this, and I gave you that, and I gave you a ministry, and I've given you a great staff, and I've given you a great congregation. What have you done with it, Stephen? And I think about that constantly in my life. And so it forces me to study more. It drives me to the point that, God, I want you to come anytime and take a whiff of my life. And God, help it not be a sewer, but help it be a sweet-smelling Savior. You know, I want to close with a cute little story. I'll get myself in trouble, but it's a cute story. My wife is gone, so, you know, so be it. What can I say? She's traveling again and doing her thing, but it reminds me, this story, of an interesting time we had in Bellflower. We were definitely married about 20 years then, about 10 years ago. So we've been married 30 years, and we were out in the pool floating around, and she looked up and she said, Stephen, look at the orange tree. And I thought, well, yeah, look at that orange tree. She said, don't you think you ought to get up there and grab those oranges? And I said, well, yeah, you know, I'm floating, man. I feel like Shamu. I'm sipping on my iced tea. It's my day off. No, honey. She goes, well, I really think we need to pick those oranges. And she made a big deal at it. You know, just, we got to pick them. Today's the day. Sometimes, like you women do. Right now. Got to do it right now. Well, why do we have to do it right now, honey? This is the time. Okay. So I got the ladder, and she's a wonderful woman. Simple, very diligent, very clean. Everything has a place. If you know my wife, she is methodical. She is together. She is a Susie homemaker. She's everything that a guy could want. And so I got the ladder up there, and she said, are you going to get out of the pool and pick the oranges? And I said, nah. I really can't. My back, my neck, I got to get some sun on my face so I look like I'm healthy for the congregation. I thought of every reason under the sun not to get out of the pool. Well, she got up there, and she picked the apples, the oranges, and she had a little basket, and it was kind of a neat little thing to see, and she had fun. She went in the house, and she took these oranges, she put them on the kitchen table, and it was the perfect basket with a little, you know, napkin inside that went over the top and kind of looked like Better Homes and Garden basket with the fruit just perfectly together and all the stumps underneath. And so I saw this, and I thought, we just got done going shopping. And I remember we bought some oranges that had Sunkissed written on them. And me, being disorganized and a little devious, I thought, I think I'm going to play a trick on my wife. So I went in the house and I got the oranges and I dumped them in the trash can and I put these sun-kissed oranges inside the basket. And then we got busy and I forgot to tell her what I was doing. And we came back for dinner that night and I remember the oranges and I knew I shouldn't, but I couldn't. And so I said to her, she said, "Stephen, did you see me climb the tree?" I said, "Oh, honey, I saw you climb the tree and reaching out there. And it was a wonderful thing. And from my angle, it was a marvelous work. And we just had fun laughing about it." She goes, "Well, this is our fruit. This is what we've done. We can live off this for the rest of our life." That's how she's thinking. I'm thinking, okay, oranges for the rest of my life. One day, maybe. And I said, "Now, are these the oranges you chose?" "These are the oranges." I said, "Well, honey, these oranges have sun-kissed on them. Did you write sun-kissed?" She goes, "No." I said, "You're kidding." I said, "You didn't write sun-kissed?" And then she goes, "No." I said, "Did you pick..." She goes, "Yes." And I said, "I can't believe it." She goes, "What?" I said, "We have one of those sun-kissed trees in our backyard." She goes, "What are you talking about?" I said, "Sun-kissed genetically engineered these trees that when it was time to pick the oranges, after you pick them, in 30 minutes, it would write sun-kissed on it." She goes, "You're kidding me." I said, "No. Did you pick it?" She goes, "Yeah." So I got one, and it said sun and didn't have the kissed on the end of it. And I said, "Look, it's going to spell it out for you in just a moment." And after 30 seconds, she's saying, "It's not working." And I lost it. And then she lost it. And I got in serious trouble. She goes, "You mocked me." I said, "No, I didn't mock you. It's just wonderful seeing the fruit." What was the conversation around the table? It was about those silly oranges. And all I want to say to you is, what is the conversation that Jesus has when he hangs out with you? Look at your fruit. Let's talk about the fruit. Let's don't talk about the problems. Let's don't talk about the church splits. Let's don't talk about what's going on in the community. Let's don't talk about what's happening in business. Let's talk about one thing that I made you to do. If you stay plugged in, we're going to have a wonderful time. You're going to glorify me with the fruit in your life of loving, of being gentle, of being kind. Oh God, help me. It says in verse 8, to bring you glory because I'm bearing fruit. That is the purpose why God made you, that you would bring him pleasure. Father, we ask this morning that, Lord, even in that silly story, just about the oranges and the tree and about the whole process of picking and bringing them and looking at them and laughing about them and talking about them, and the whole conversation was over these silly oranges. Even today, I can still remember my wife's look. "How could you do this to me?" And we laughed, and we still laugh about it to this day. But it was about the fruit. And how I long for you to laugh over my life. How I long for you to talk about the fruit that you see. How that, God, I long for you to be pleased. And God, that you could take these people who love you with all their hearts and that they would bear fruit. That, Lord, that you would wash them and you would cleanse them, that they would bring forth more fruit. That you would be great in their behalf and they would bring much fruit. And that, Lord, that they would never lose that joy of serving you. And so, Father, I thank you and I praise you that when we look at life, we are to bring you honor by bearing the fruit of your Spirit, that we would have love, be gentle, be kind, be forgiving, be filled with long-suffering, have mercy, and we will thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Shall we stand?
That's Pastor Steve Mays wrapping up our study time together. If you'd like to know more about the many other Bible study helps we offer here at Calvary Chapel South Bay, visit us online at www.ccsouthbay.org or give us a call at 1-800-339-WISE. Until next time, God bless.